At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, word nerds. You are such a word nerd. That's why you have turned on the podcast called The Dictionary. It's an audio podcast. It's also a video podcast on my YouTube channel. That is where it should be watched. Hello,
everybody. My name is Spencer. What am I, Mr. Bill now?
This is episode 230. 230 Fs. I posted yesterday on Reddit, you know, when those podcast thing like, hey, check out my podcast. Can you more people come check out my podcast? And it said, you know, F206, I think, was the episode that aired yesterday. And somebody was like, wow, over 200 episodes and you're not even through the sixth letter of the alphabet. And I was like, oh, no, hold up. You don't even understand. It's over 2,000 episodes. Way more. 10 times more. All right, let's talk about the words. The first word in this episode is frothy. You could also give a little bit of a hard TH, frothy. Frothy. This is an adjective from the 15th century. Number one, full of or consisting of froth. I think my brain is frothy because it only consists of froth. Sometimes it comes out of my ears. I got froth coming out of my ears. My brain is really frothy. Number two, A, gaily frivolous or light in content or treatment. The synonym is insubstantial. As in the example, a frothy comedy. So that comedy is insubstantial. It's very light in its content or treatment. It is gaily frivolous. What does that mean? Happily frivolous? It's frivolous and it's very happy about it? Yeah, okay. I'm trying to think of a frothy comedy. Something that's very lighthearted. You can't take it too seriously. You don't probably have to pay attention to it too much. Yeah, there's no frothy comedies. If you make a comedy movie, can you please call it frothy? Just explain it as frothy. Would you describe your comedy as frothy? I don't know what this comedy is. Maybe sometimes frothy, maybe sometimes heady, maybe sometimes just doesn't make no sense. Number 2B, made of light, thin material. So yeah, 2A, 2B, it's the idea of that like froth is just very light and fluffy and bubbly and there's not a lot to it. So then we take it to describe it as other things. Sometimes a comedy, a metaphorical frothy, or sometimes it's something literally made of light, thin material. Like these pieces of paper, these are very frothy because they're so very thin. You can see right through them. I see you. All right, what else about frothy? Frothily is an adverb, and frothiness is a noun. This podcast has so much frothiness. All right, I gotta make a sound effect. I'm gonna go... The next word is frottage. F-R-O-T-T-A-G-E. Last night, we watched an episode of The Bear, and they have a role in the kitchen called stage, S-T-A-G-E. Looks like the word stage, but it's stage, so this is a very similar pronunciation to this word, frottage. I assume it's French. This is a noun from 1935. Number one is the technique of creating a design by rubbing over an object placed underneath the paper. And an example of what you are rubbing on the paper? right, is a pencil. You take a pencil, you rub it, well, first, but first, you gotta put the paper on top of a thing, and then you take the pencil, and you rub on the paper, so it is creating this version of what's beneath it. We have more to the definition, though. We gotta say that also, this is a composition so made. A composition using this artistic method is also called a frottage. I remember, you know, going maybe on a field trip, maybe to a cemetery. I feel like people do this at cemeteries. Put the piece of paper on the old stone, and then you rub it with a pencil or a crayon. Maybe even a marker would work. Seems like maybe not the right consistency, but something, any of those things would probably be fine. And then it creates this like otherworldly version, almost a ghostly version of that thing. In The Big Lebowski, he kind of did this on that piece of paper, and it was a very silly moment. So, frottage, that's what it is. Now we got number two, the act. This is very different. I never heard of this either. The act of obtaining sexual stimulation by rubbing against a person or object. And that seems like a pretty normal way to receive sexual stimulation because it's all about the rubbing and the friction. Typically, not for everybody, but that seems like a pretty normal thing. But I have not heard of this in terms of sexual stimulation. I am aware of this artistic method, but I don't think I knew or remembered that it was called frottage. I do love this word. Can you see a similarity? Can you see a connection between numbers 1 and 2? Yes, it is the word rub. This word is French from frotter, which means to rub. That's all it is. Rubbing a thing on a thing, you're frottaging. So that was the noun. There is no verb here, but of course you can change the word in whatever way you want. Oh wow, you made that's a frottage art because it was made by rubbing. And yes, you can go frottaging when you meet up with somebody who you find attractive, who also finds you attractive, and they consent. You can frottage together. What was my sound effect? Sure. Okay, now we have the word frou-frou, F-R-O-U, F-R-O-U. O-U. Noun from 1870. Number one, a rustling, especially of a woman's skirts. Woman's. Now, woman, a woman's apostrophe S, skirts. Why would you pluralize skirts? Unless it seems like, well, anyway. When a woman's skirt is rustling, it's a frou-frou? Is that the sound that it makes? Or is it the action of rustling? Number two is showy or frilly ornamentation. That's just frou-frou. It's so beautiful and showy and maybe frilly and fancy, but it's just ornamentation. It's not productive. It's not practical in any way. So it's a frou-frou. I don't really wear the frou-frou. I don't put the rustling. I don't have a skirts that rustle, and I don't have ornamentation typically. I guess my bag, my shoulder bag, has some frou-frou because I got some pins on there. That I guess would be frou-frou. This is French frou-frou of imitative origin. I think that's what it is. So maybe. I haven't looked at the actual definition of that when it's talking about etymology, but I think it's like it's imitating the thing that it is. So like maybe the rustling of the skirt is like a frou, 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 frou. Maybe it's that sort of sound. I don't know. So it's just the sound from the thing. Frou, frou. It's a fun word to say. You could use it to describe anything you want. Frou frou. This podcast is frou frou. Lots of ornamentation with my jokes and my songs. Like my sound effects maybe are frou frou. Now we have the word. How would you pronounce this? I think you would say fro. You could also maybe say frau, but I think it's fro. F R O W. It is a variation of fro spelled F R O E. Which was before, and I don't remember that one. Next is froward. It's not forward. It's not torward. Torward? It's not anything else. It's froward. This is an adjective from the 13th century. Number one, habitually disposed to disobedience and opposition. It is your habit to be disobedient, to not obey what the people are telling you to do, and just to be in opposition, to say, nope, I'm going to be obstinate. I'm going to go against everything that you say. I am a froward teenager. Teenagers are often froward. I am not aware of this one. Habitually disposed to disobedience. When you want to be a nonconformist, you are being froward. Number two is archaic, and the synonym is adverse, which seems pretty similar. You're just being adverse. You're being against everything that is being said to you. Frowardly is an adverb, and frowardness is a noun. And I think, safely say that I am not familiar with this word. I would not call myself a froward person. I mean, I guess I could be a little bit more froward. It's a weird word to say. You know, you don't want to always want to agree with everything. You want to think for yourself and, you know, maybe not always go with what the authorities are telling you. Maybe there's a healthy level of that, healthy level of frowardness. Sure. This is a Middle English word. It means turned away, or it also means froward. And let's turn off the speakers there because that's distracting. So froward is from fro, which means from, plus ward, which means ward, like a direction, away. So from, how do we get away? You're turned away. So I guess you're looking, I'm trying to think of how the word from is in terms of how the direction that you're facing. You're away from them. Is that how we're supposed to think of it? Yeah, you're just like, nah, sorry, I'm going to turn away from you. I don't agree with anything you're saying. I'm froward. I'm froward? All right, that's what it is. That's how you can imagine it. Froward from, turned away from the thing that they're, the thing that's talking to them. Froward. Next is frown. First form, verb from the 14th century. Number one, to contract the brow in displeasure or concentration. When I am very angry, when I am thinking hard, when I am unhappy, I am contracting the brow. Oh, he has contracted his brow, so he is frowning. So this is interesting because you think of a frown as the mouth frowning. Sometimes the eyebrows do go along with that. But this one is specifically about the brow, and the word is frown. There's some similar sounds in there. Wonder if that's part of the etymology. So, contracting the brow in displeasure or concentration. Frown. My eyes are frowning. Number two, to give evidence of displeasure or disapproval by, or as if by, facial expression. So, this is again the verb. Intransitive is where we're starting. I think I missed that. So I love that it's to give evidence of your displeasure. I am using my facial expressions to show, that is the evidence that I'm showing to you of my displeasure with what you are saying, or my disapproval. Oh, I very much disapprove of what you're saying. So this is the evidence that shows that, proves my displeasureness. The example is critics frown on the idea. The critics are very unhappy about that idea, so they are frowning on it. Now this one, yeah, facial expression. Critics, you don't usually get to see the critics' faces. They're usually writing something. I guess sometimes maybe they're on video, but not typically. When I think of a critic, a movie critic, they're usually writing it. But these days, there's a lot, A lot of videos being made about people talking about movies, and I would like to make some myself. All right, transitive is to show displeasure with or disapproval of, especially by facial expression. Frowning. It makes me very angry. The thing that made me make this face, I have displeasure for it. Frowner, that is a noun, and frowningly is an adverb. So we do have another form of this, but we must talk about the etymology. This word is from the Middle French, frogner, which means to snort or frown. Snort is interesting. Maybe that was an action that people did when they were showing their displeasure many, many years ago. I don't know how they snorted. It is also of Celtic origin, akin to the Welsh word froin, which means nostril. Ah, so there's the nose thing again. What, did they flare their nostrils? Was it more snorting? What was going on with their noses when they were showing their disapproval? Also, here we go, even more, from the old Irish word sron, which means nose. And of course, I don't know how to pronounce Irish or Old Irish or Welsh. Nose. It's all coming from the nose. Nothing about the brow. Interesting. This one is hurting my brain. Frown is from nose. Why? Why? All right, let's move on. The second form of frown is a noun. Not frown, is a noun. From 1581. Number one, an expression of displeasure. Whatever expression that is, anything that shows displeasure, it's a frown. This look, that's maybe more confusion, but I like to do this look. Is that a frown? Is this a frown? Because I'm using my nose a lot. Number two, a wrinkling of the brow in displeasure or concentration. And there was nothing in here that talked about the mouth. Every time I'm talking about a frown, I hear people talking about a frown, I feel like it's the mouth, right? Meh. You gotta do an upside down U with your mouth like this. That's a frown. I'm so displeasured by that thing. I don't approve of that. I'm angry. I'm gonna scrunch my face. All right, we have to move on and not do all these ridiculous things unless you like them, and then I will do more of them. All right, but moving on to... this word is frousty. Frousty? Adjective from 1865. Number one, this is chiefly British, and the synonym is musty. Frousty and musty. British people, do you use this word? Is this old? It's from the 1800s, so it's not that old. Number two is also chiefly British, and the synonym is the number two definition for the word frowsy, which is the very next word, and basically frowsty is just an alternative of frowsy, so we gotta go talk about frowsy. We gotta go do that, right? Let's go do that. Frowsy. You can spell it with an S-Y or a Z-Y. Or a Z-Y, because it is chiefly British, I think. It is an adjective from 1681. All right, this one's quite a bit older than frowsty. Number one, the synonyms are musty and stale. Ugh, don't want to eat that frowsy bread. Ugh. The example is a quote. A frowsy smell of stale beer and stale smoke. That was probably said with a British accent, or written. Written with a British accent? It's a quote from W.S. Maugham? 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 Maugham. There's a couple of ways I think that that could be pronounced. Maugham. Maugham? No. Okay, musty, stale. Ooh, yeah, don't like that smell. Frowsy. It did not say it was chiefly British. So is frowsy all English, and then frousty with a T is chiefly British? All right, let's keep on going. Because the number two for Frousty is the number two for Frowsy, which is chiefly British. So this one is probably chiefly British. Number two, having a slovenly or uncared for appearance. The example is a couple of frowsy stuffed chairs. And that is a quote from R.M. Williams. A couple of frowsy stuffed chairs. Are we talking about people? Are you metaphorically talking about those people? They're like, oh, they're just a couple of frowsy stuffed chairs. They're uncared for. Nobody cares about these chairs. They're slovenly. These people, they don't care for themselves. They're just sitting there, just like chairs. You could sit on them. Maybe they're comfy chairs. No, I think we're talking about real chairs that just they're just ratty. They're falling apart. They're old. Those are frowsy. I have not heard of this word, but you can definitely see a connection between number one and number two. Musty, stale, and uncared for, unkempt. Yep, that's frowsy. The origin of this word is unknown, which makes me very angry. I frown when I see origin unknown. And then the British people made it frowsty for some reason. All right. Froze is next. It is the past form of freeze. Next is frozen. Frozen. I mean, how can you not think of the movie Frozen? Let it go. Adjective from the 14th century. Number 1A for frozen. Treated, affected, or crusted over by freezing. Crusted over. Crusted over. I don't like to be frozen. I don't like to be crusted over by freezing. 1B. Subject to long and severe cold, as in the frozen north. Yes, I think the north and the south, actually. The far north, the far south. They are definitely frozen. They are definitely treated, affected, or crusted over by freezing because they have been subjected to very cold stuff for a long time. Because the poles, they don't really move a lot. It's just cold. There's not as much activity and motion to keep it warm. All right, number 2A. Incapable of being changed, moved, or undone. The synonym is fixed. You can't change it. It's fixed. It's frozen in place. Not cold, just stuck. But we got more. Specifically, debarred by official action from movement or from change in status. As in, frozen wages. We don't like it when our wages get frozen. Why you freezing our wages? We want our wages to go up all the time. I just saw a meme kind of thing yesterday, and they were like, hear me out. What about maximum wage? Oh, what an idea. I mean, I think I've heard people say that before, but ooh, that would be something. But yes, you know, when a business isn't doing well, maybe they're going to freeze some wages because they can't afford to pay people more like people should be getting yearly wages to deal with the change of cost of living. You know, the minimum wage, I feel like, didn't change for a while. Is it now state by state that decide what the minimum wage is? It's a very complicated situation. We don't like it when our wages are frozen. 2B. Not available for present use. The example is frozen capital. So this is like money that you have to use to spend it on things. Like maybe you're starting a business, you gotta have capital. But maybe after a while, the capital, the extra stuff that you have, it gets frozen. So it is not available for present use. In the present, right now, you can't use it. So it's frozen. Why? I don't know. It's sad and frowning. 2C1. Drained or incapable of emotion. Drained of emotion or incapable of emotion. So frozen. Frozen, yeah. I mean, you're stuck in no emotion. I got no emotions. I got none today. I'm feeling frozen. I'm feeling cold and frigid, and you can't make me feel anything because I'm so frozen. I can't even frown because I'm frozen. Number 2C2. Expressing or characterized by cold unfriendliness. That unfriendliness is described as cold. So if you are expressing that, you are characterized by that cold unfriendliness. You are frozen in your unfriendliness and your coldness. It's like kind of like a double thing there. Frozenly is an adverb, and frozenness is a noun. That's it. We talked about all those other freezy, cold words before, so there's no additional etymology, and we are going to move on to FRS. No more FRO words. Here's FRS. It's an abbreviation for Federal Reserve System. FRT, abbreviation for freight, like a freight train or a freight elevator or a freight tricycle. All right, now begins the FRU section, which actually is going to go on for a little bit. Okay, so this first one is fructification or fructification. 1, 2, 3, 4, was it 5 syllables? Fructification, yep. I'm not going to spell it. You could figure it out. This is a noun from 1753. It is the reproductive organs or fruit of a plant. Especially the synonym is sporophore. So the things of a plant that make it reproduce more things, those reproductive organs, those are the fructification or fructifications, or the fruit of the plant, like strawberries, bananas, pomegranates, mangoes. We're not going to list all the fruits. Tomatoes, cucumbers, I think those are fruits. And they have seeds in them, so I guess that they are sort of like the reproductive organs. Not the organs, but they help it to reproduce because of the seeds. They can grow more things. So it seems like it's all about reproduction. There's no etymology here, but maybe in the next word. Here we go. Let's do it. It's the word fructify or fructify. This one is a verb from the 14th century, and we are starting with intransitive. This means to bear fruit. If it is able to bear fruit, to create new things, then it is fructifying. The example is, its seeds shall fructify or fructify. That is a quote from Amy Lowell. Its seeds shall fructify, so they will bear more fruit because they are seeds and they will grow and they will make fruit. There's another example. No partnership can fructify without candor on both sides. And that is a quote from D.M. Ogilvy. So when two sides are trying to do something, they have to be honest, they have to have candor, they have to be able to make concessions and do the things and move forward. If you don't do those things, then that partnership between the two of them can't fructify. It's not going to produce more things. It's not going to be effective in any way. It makes sense. It's an interesting use of this word. All right, now we have transitive, which is to make fruitful or productive. Fructify. I'm going to make that fruit be more productive. Clean your room. Do the dishes. Fruit. All right, now this word. This is where we got to get into some good stuff, but you probably already know. It is from the Latin fructificare, which is from the Latin word fructus, which just means fruit. That's all it is. Can it make fruit? It's fructified. Fructify, no. We have one more word for this episode. It is fructose or fructose or fructose or fructose. F-R-U-C-T-O-S-E. This one is a noun from circa 1864. Number one, a crystalline sugar, C6H12O6, sweeter and more soluble than glucose. This is stuff in the body and foods, and I can never get all them straight. It's a sugar, so you eat it, but you got it. Do you make it? You probably don't make it. I don't know if your body's making fructose, but you can eat it, and it is sweeter than glucose, but it is more soluble. So is it more easy to be absorbed into the body, maybe? Two, the very sweet laboratory deform of fructose that occurs especially in fruit juices and honey. Laboratory. So there is fructose that occurs in fruit juices and honey. That's that fructose. But then this other fructose is a laboratory deform, capital D hyphen form. It's a deform, laboratory deform of that. I don't understand any of that at all. It's very sweet, which makes me happy. It is called also fruit sugar and also levulose, L-E-V-U-L-O-S-E, levulose. Didn't know that one. All right, so any additional etymology? Not so much. We know that this word comes from fruit, because I guess fruit's got fructose. Fruit's got fructose. Fruit's got fructose. I was trying to think of something else, but I can't think of anything for that. Glutes got glucose. Ooh, look at those glutes. They got glucose, and the fruit's got fructose. All right, so let's pick a word of the episode, shall we? Today we had frothy, frottage, frou-frou, froward, frown, frousty, frowsy, froze, frozen, FRS, FRT, fructification, fructify, and fructification. Let's see. I think there was a couple that I liked for various reasons. Which one? See, I liked frown because the definitions were a little bit different than what I was thinking. Maybe a little bit. I liked the etymology of frown. For sure. It's nose. That's it. It's no nose. Froward is an interesting word that means just opposed to things because you're turning away. Let's see. Anything else? The fruit frottage, that's a fun word, has a couple of interesting meanings. Which one to pick? Is there a standout? I don't know. I guess maybe I'll just pick frou-frou. Look at all the frou-frou. She's got skirts and she's got frou-frou on the frou-frou. When the skirts are rustling, they're making the frou-frou. And it's filled with frou-frou. Frills and chills and diamonds and dill pickles. That's it. We gotta end that part right there. And now I'm gonna tell you about a movie. Just one movie. We watched A Nice Indian Boy. This is a very sweet and funny movie, and dramatic at times, movie about a gay Indian man who falls in love with a white man, but who has an interesting history. I will leave it at that. It's fun, it's good, it's worth a watch, definitely. And of course, you get to see a couple of Indian weddings, and what can be wrong with that? They're very fun. And dancing, can't forget about the singing and the dancing. All right, this is the end of the episode. Thank you so much for checking out this show. I really appreciate it. Please don't frown, don't be froward. I mean, you can frown if you want. If you disapprove of something, you should probably frown. There's a lot of things to frown at. There really are. Take care of your chairs so they don't get frowsy. This has been Spencer dispensing information. Goodbye. If you're thinking about starting a podcast, either by yourself, with a co-host, with guests, audio only, or with video, keep on listening. I started podcasting in early 2019, and for the rare occasions I had on a guest, it was always in person. But once the pandemic came around and everything became remote, using Zencastr really opened up the possibilities of who I could have on as a guest. I've recorded guests using Zencastr everywhere, from just a handful of miles away from me in the Chicago area, all the way to the other side of the world in New Zealand. The video and audio quality are great, especially if they have a decent camera and microphone. And getting the files couldn't be easier. I love that Zencastr records the audio and video to each person's local computer, so the quality isn't lowered because of internet hiccups. It then uploads the footage to the platform during the recording, and when you hit stop, it quickly finishes the upload and processes the files so you can directly download them. The files are even accessible even if something goes wrong. And so, of course, this next part, I will read verbatim from Zencastr because, of course, I couldn't have said it better myself. It's super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. Log in using your browser and start recording a high-quality podcast right away. Record studio-quality sound and up to 4K video with your guests. Feel a sense of Zen knowing Zencastr's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recordings in the highest quality, even if the connection is unstable. Have you ever worried what you sound like? Zencastr's post-production process makes you sound buttery smooth. It automatically removes those ums and ahs in your recording. It removes those awkward pauses in conversation, too. Set the right podcast loudness and levels while reducing background noise with a click of a button. If you have thought about podcasting before and realized that you need a lot of different tools and services, those days are over. With Zencastr's all-in-one podcasting platform, you can create your podcast all in one place and distribute to Spotify, Apple, and other major destinations. Go to zencastr.com/pricing and use my code WORDNERD, WORDNERD, and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. I want you to have the same easy experiences like I do for all my podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story.